Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I didn't think I'd ever be the kind of woman who counted down to her high school reunion. But there I was, in my studio apartment, surrounded by Amazon packages labeled XS, Spanx, and Glam Press-On Nails, refreshing the RSVP list for the North Shore High Class of 14 like it was the goddamn Oscars. 10 years. 10 years since Stacy Ridgemont whispered Lacey's a land whale loud enough for half the cafeteria to hear.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
10 years since I walked home crying, swearing I'd show them all. And now, I had a secret weapon. Ozempic. Yeah, that Ozempic. At first, I told myself I was just testing it for my PCOS. But let's be real. I wanted to glow up. Needed to. Deserved to. By the time June rolled around, I was 70 pounds lighter, had cheekbones I'd never met before, and fit into a dress labeled 2 that made my cleavage look like it had a PR team. When I walked into the reunion, jaws actually dropped. I kid you not, Stacy nearly spilled her rosé when she saw me. "Lacey?" she gasped, clutching her necklace like I was a ghost. "Still landbound?" I smiled sweetly. "Or have you evolved into air travel?" Petty? Yes. Satisfying? Oh, God, yes. Everyone wanted a piece of me that night. DMs blew up. Old flames started circling like I was blood in the water. One of them, Trevor King, looked better than ever. He played cornerback in high school. Now did something in fintech or crypto or some other vague, scammy-sounding job. "Jesus, Lacey," he said, handing me a drink. "You're like a whole new person." I burned the old version. I laughed, and for a moment, I half believed it. We ended up at his place that night, a sleek condo downtown with minimalist furniture and an espresso machine more expensive than my car. Things were heating up, shirts unbuttoned, music low, and then everything went fuzzy. I felt dizzy, like my insides were curling inward. Next thing I knew, I was flat on the floor, blinking up at a horrified Trevor. He called 911. At the ER, they pumped fluids into me like I was a dying plant. Diagnosis? Dehydration. Side effect of Ozempic. The kicker? Trevor was also on it. He admitted it while feeding me ice chips. "I threw up 3 times last week from just a salad," he chuckled. "But hey, abs over appetite, right?" We both laughed, weakly. We went off Ozempic. Doctor's orders. Within weeks, the weight came roaring back like it had been waiting in the shadows. And with it came something else, an idea. See, Trevor and I started seeing each other regularly. Misery loves company. And soon, obsession turned to resentment. We hated watching the pounds return, hated feeling powerless. Until one night, we stumbled upon a subreddit called The Glow Cartel. It wasn't public, it was invite only. But Trevor, who had some connections, got us in. It was filled with posts from people who'd faked prescriptions, traded black market GLP-1 agonists, and microdosed to keep losing weight without the the nasty side effects. There was even a guy selling clean Ozempic, imported, supposedly tampered with to reduce nausea. We were skeptical, but desperate. Trevor messaged the guy. His username was Newton's Ghost. The first delivery came in a velvet box. No label, no instructions, just a note that said, one injection per week, no puking, no slipping, no refunds. And for a while, it worked. The pounds dropped again. My Instagram looked like an influencer's. I started getting sponsored DM offers. Detox teas, teeth whitening kits, even a swimsuit line. Trevor started skipping work just to have sex, or weigh himself, or both. It was intoxicating. Until we found out the truth. One of the girls from the subreddit died. Her sister posted about it. Collapsed in a tanning salon. Heart failure. Lab results showed amphetamine compounds mixed into the injection. I freaked. Trevor didn't. It's probably a one-off, he said. People react differently. She was doing some illegal stuff, too. I wanted to believe him. But then, I started hearing things. In the walls. In my sleep. My heart would race for no reason. And I caught Trevor lying about how much he was using. You said once a week, I accused. I am! Maybe twice? And then I found the texts. He was still messaging Newton's Ghost. Only now, he was selling the stuff to others. Just helping people, he told me. You're becoming a fucking dealer! We fought. Hard. Screamed in the middle of a Shake Shack, ironically. He stormed out. I cried in the restroom for 20 minutes. I went to the police, gave them the username, told them about Trevor's side hustle. They said they'd look into it. A week later, Trevor disappeared. Vanished. No calls, no posts, just gone. His condo was spotless when I broke in. Yeah, I broke in, couldn't help myself. The only clue was a blood-stained towel in the trash, and his crypto wallet drained. I was the last person to see him alive. The cops questioned me, of course, but I played dumb. Told them he ghosted. Maybe ran off with some Instagram model. But I knew better. I think Newton's Ghost killed him. Or maybe Trevor was Newton's Ghost, and someone else wanted him gone. Either way, I couldn't go back to that life. I spiraled. Ate everything. Anything. Whatever was off limits before, I devoured. Cookies. Fried chicken. Whole tubs of frosting. My body ballooned in real time. And I didn't care. Okay, maybe I did. But caring didn't stop the cravings. And then, something wild happened. I saw Trevor again. 6 months later, at an all-inclusive resort in St. Lucia. He was unrecognizable. Massive. Sweating through a linen shirt, holding a tray with 5 chocolate puddings. Our eyes met across the buffet. Lacey? He wheezed. Still glowing? I smirked. He laughed. I laughed. And then we sat together by the pool. Turns out, he faked his disappearance. Staged the blood. Cashed out crypto. Went off grid. Said he'd been hiding from the subreddit after some users got doxxed, and one girl's face melted from counterfeit injections. Melted? I asked.
Skin necrosis, he said, mouth full of pudding. Like, actual sloughing off. Horror movie shit.
We both paused, and then shrugged. Trevor leaned back, his belly jiggling like a prize hog's.
Maybe this is who we were always meant to be,
he said, fat and full of lies. No, he grinned. Free. I let the sun bake my thighs. The rolls of flesh untouched by any Spanx. Free. This story is loosely inspired from the real life of Emily Wright, a teacher based out of Toronto. She started with Ozempic in the year 2018. Miracles happened and she lost over 80 pounds. But then the side effects showed up and she was vomiting so much that she had to take a leave of absence from work. It was a normal day. I was working my boring 9-to-5 desk job at a tech company that smelt like burnt coffee and ambition. Then I found the note. It was wedged beneath my keyboard, folded like a high school confession. Plain white, no frills. Just 4 words in tidy, careful cursive. You are incredibly beautiful. No name, no hint, just that.
I laughed, but not because it was romantic, but because it was so random. Like, someone watched one too many rom-coms and thought this would be charming. I held it up between two fingers like it was radioactive. Okay, secret admirer, I muttered. Bit outdated, but cute effort. Later that evening, my coworker Mason gave me a ride home. We often carpooled when our shifts aligned. He was the kind of guy you'd describe as inoffensive. Quiet, punctual, average in the most unremarkable way. I'd never thought twice about him. As soon as I buckled in, I brought up the note. You won't believe what I found today, I said, smirking. Someone left me a love letter. I feel like I'm in high school again. He didn't laugh. Seriously? I nudged his arm. I mean, come on. It's kind of funny. His hands tightened on the wheel. Did you tell HR? What? For calling me beautiful? I scoffed. I'm married, not endangered. He didn't respond. The rest of the drive was quiet. I chalked it up to a bad day. The next week, HR pulled me aside. Asked if Mason had ever made me uncomfortable. Said they were conducting an internal inquiry. I didn't get much detail. Just a vague suggestion that past complaints were under review. I remembered the silence in his car. The way his knuckles turned white on the steering wheel. Something was off. Later, Lana from accounting messaged me. Hey, did Mason ever drive you home? I said, yes. She replied, call me. Lana told me everything. Mason had offered her rides too, friendly at first. Then he started showing up at her gym, her yoga studio. Once, he parked outside her house for hours. She only knew because her neighbor texted her a photo. I thought I was paranoid, she said, until HR found his search history. What do you mean? I asked, chilled. Let's just say he knew a lot about where I went, what I wore, who I saw. It didn't end there. One Monday morning, our team had a presentation in the main conference room. Our manager, Darren, asked Mason to open his screen to demo a client dashboard. He plugged in his USB and tapped the wrong folder. I wish I hadn't seen it. We all do. It was a video. Deep fake quality. AI generated, but disturbingly real. Mason and Lana. In a scene that looked like it belonged on a premium site behind a paywall. It was like 1,000 shades of gray. More than that. Violent, even. And the worst part? The faces weren't blurred. It was them. Their expressions. All synthetically animated to perfection. The room went silent. I remember the sound of the air conditioner humming. The way time slowed. Mason frantically tried to hit escape. The laptop didn't respond. Darren yanked the HDMI cable out of the laptop. Security escorted Mason out within 5 minutes. He didn't even try to explain. The company went into PR lockdown. HR ran emergency seminars. We had to sign NDAs. They called it an isolated incident. A week after the incident, a second video surfaced. This time, it was me. The email was anonymous, but the message was clear. You laughed. Now you'll see what's funny. I didn't click on it. I couldn't. But someone in legal did. They said it was the same AI style, just my face this time, just as twisted. The video hadn't leaked yet, but it was only a matter of time. I broke down in the HR office. Why me? I asked. Why her? Why us? They didn't have answers. They just promised to involve the authorities. A few days later, I found another note. This time, in my mailbox at home. You always thought I wasn't worthy. No envelope, no return address. I went to the police. They said Mason had been fired and was under investigation, but not charged. Not yet. They didn't have concrete evidence that he sent the email, or the note, or the video. But he made the first one! I snapped. Legally, that's still under review. Legally. That word stopped meaning anything after this. 3 weeks later, it was 2 a.m. My husband and I were asleep when the security lights outside flicked on. I checked the camera feed. A car parked across the street, engine idling. Too far to see the plates, but I knew. I moved out a week later. New job, new city. I didn't leave forwarding info, just vanished. Like Lana. Mason disappeared too. Last I heard, he left the state. Police couldn't press charges due to insufficient digital forensics proving that it was his USB that created the videos. AI tech moves faster than the law, apparently. But then, 3 months after I'd started over, I got one last letter. Different handwriting. Sloppier. Like it was rushed. You should have thanked me for noticing you. I kept it in a locked drawer as a reminder. A reminder that some monsters don't hide under beds. They sit 2 cubicles away. They offer to drive you home. They hold open doors. They laugh at your jokes. This story was inspired from an incident shared by one of our Broccoli Fam subscribers. In the real incident, the creepy coworker left her a note and only stalked her colleague. Whew. We'd just wrapped up a haircut. Jules, my regular, had been going on about some dating horror story involving a woman with a ferret and an ex-boyfriend who lived in her basement. I couldn't stop laughing. Neither could he. Man, I swear. Jules chuckled, brushing hair off his neck. If you ever see me swiping again, slap the phone out of my hand. I held up the cape. Deal. But you'll owe me a tip if I break your screen. We both laughed. Then we heard it. The front door creaked open, a second too slow, and in stepped Trouble, dressed in a leather jacket 3 winters too old, and boots that looked like they'd been digging graves. He was slurring before he even got to the waiting chair. The fuck are you laughing at? Jules, still standing, glanced at me, then back to him. Nobody's laughing at you, man. We're just chilling. Relax. But relax was the wrong word. Something about that word snapped him. You think I'm a joke? He growled, swaying a little. The stink of whiskey and sour breath hit the air like a second presence. I didn't say a word. My colleague Danny, cutting a kid's fade in the next chair, locked eyes with me in the mirror. She was already edging toward her phone, slow and silent. The drunk stepped forward. I said, he jabbed a finger. What's so funny, huh? Jules raised both hands, palms out. Dude, we ain't got beef. You walked in during a funny story, that's it. You calling me stupid? The kid in Danny's chair squirmed. The drunk's voice was rising. I stepped back, instinct kicking in, but there was nowhere to go. I was pinned between the counter and the shampoo sink. Then it happened. The drunk lunged. Jules blocked the first swing. A clipper cord tangled around their legs. They slammed into my chair, knocking it over. The sound of metal and plastic crashing filled the room. Yo! Danny barked. Another customer jumped in. Mike, a quiet guy who came in every 2 weeks like clockwork. Somehow, they separated the two. I stayed frozen, heart hammering in my throat, hands shaking near the scissors I'd just sanitized. The drunk backed toward the door, still shouting. I'll come back! He screamed, eyes darting around like a rabid dog cornered. You don't know me! I run this whole street! Then, like it was nothing, he reached into his coat and pulled out a taser. That sound, like a bug zapper crossed with a rattlesnake, changed the room. Nobody moved. He didn't aim it, not yet, just waved it like a warning, like he wanted us to flinch. I said I'm not a fucking joke! Mike stepped forward. Put that shit down, man. You're on camera. You think I give a damn about cameras? But Danny... She had already killed the power earlier. No footage. No evidence. And I suddenly realized, neither did he. I crouched low, crept behind the washing station, slipped out the back exit, and dialed 911 with trembling fingers. By the time I circled around front, he was gone. Police came, took statements, asked questions I couldn't fully answer. What was his name? Had we seen him before? No. Never. Days went by, then weeks. I couldn't shake it. Every time a customer laughed out loud, I flinched. Every time the door creaked, I tightened my grip on the scissors. I started checking the mirror more than necessary, scanning for leather jackets and broken boots. Jules didn't come back for 2 months. Danny started bringing pepper spray in her apron pocket. Then we heard it. The drunk had shown up at a liquor store near 8th Street, pissed himself and tried to choke the clerk over a denied bottle of Fireball. Cops found a knife in his sock and a taser in his jacket. Tagged, community service, parole violation, no jail time. This story was shared by one of our Broccoli Fam subscribers, Kevin. In all his years as a working professional, this was the most messed up incident he experienced. My name is Ava. I'm 25 years old. And until last summer, I was really struggling to pay off my college tuition. I worked as a waitress, which paid well enough, but my true passion was fashion design. I got into a mid-tier college last year, but I didn't qualify for any scholarships. I didn't want to take out any student loans, and no one in my family would be able to help. I'd been working really hard to save up for the last few years, but I didn't have nearly enough. It wasn't fair. I had so much talent, but I couldn't get a job anywhere without a degree. Every morning, I'd look at my next-door neighbors and just surge with anger. They were an old couple, Jonathan and Margaret, and they were loaded. I'm not kidding. Their house was enormous, and every time I saw Margaret, she was wearing another ridiculously expensive outfit. They also had a bunch of classic cars.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If I had just one of them, I would have been able to pay for my entire education and still have thousands left over. One morning, Jonathan showed up at my front door. That surprised me. I talked to him in passing, but he'd never come over before. He always seemed nice enough, but I'd caught him a couple times staring at me through his window like an old pervert. I knew I was something, a lot hotter than Margaret at least, so I didn't mind the extra attention from afar. Now that he was at my doorstep, though, I got a little creeped out.
Beautiful day, isn't it, Ava?
I was surprised he even knew my name. Yeah, totally. I didn't invite him inside. He explained that he was taking his wife on vacation for a couple days, and he wanted me to look after the house while they were gone. I guess their new security cameras had spotted a strange man wandering around their property recently, and they were both a little paranoid. He offered to pay me a couple $100 for my trouble. I accepted, of course. For the first time, he took me back to his place and showed me around the property, explaining where the security cameras were. He acted pretty normal, until we reached the backyard where no one could see us. That's when he got uncomfortably close and said,
You smell nice.
I politely pushed him away and hurried back around. I would not be treated like this. Jonathan followed me to the front of the house, acting as if nothing happened. His wife was there waiting for us. She had this annoyed, resigned expression that told me she knew all about her husband's skeevy behavior. They both thanked me for my help, got in their car, and drove away. I decided to do one more walk around the property, just to make sure Jonathan had remembered to lock everything. The guy creeped me out, but he was still paying me. That's when I noticed that he'd left their garage door slightly open. All of their super valuable cars were inside. Plus, when Jonathan had showed me where all the security cameras were pointing, he'd mentioned that the one facing the garage wasn't connected yet. Now, I'm not a criminal, but I was very desperate for money, and I suddenly had this huge opportunity. If Jonathan hadn't been such a creeper, I probably would have had more doubts. But as I stared at the partly open garage door, I felt emboldened to act. I looked around, making sure no one could see me. Then I wrapped my hands in my jacket, to avoid leaving fingerprints, and pulled the garage door all the way open. There were three classic cars inside. All beautiful, all crazy expensive. The keys were all hanging on the wall, which seemed like a very stupid place to keep them. Whatever. I grabbed one and used it to unlock the first car, a convertible. 10 minutes later, I was cruising down the street, straight to my ex-boyfriend Jimmy's junkyard. Jimmy was a really sketchy person, which was why we broke up, but he was the perfect person to help me unload a stolen car. "Huh, damn, girl! Look at you, Miss Grand Theft Auto!" He called up his connection right away, and by that afternoon, I was rich. I took an Uber back home, then went back to Jonathan's place to close up the garage and make sure that I didn't leave anything incriminating behind. Unfortunately, I didn't see that my ring had fallen when I was using my jacket to open the garage door. I didn't know that it was sitting on the ground for anyone to see. When Jonathan and Margaret returned, I greeted them at the front door and told them that I hadn't seen any suspicious activity in their house. They thanked me, and Jonathan gave me a wad of cash. Literally 5 minutes later, I heard Margaret scream from their garage. I expected them to come right over and accuse me of stealing, but they didn't. I waited for them to come, but they didn't. Through my window, I saw the police come over and inspect the place, but I still wasn't interrogated or anything. I couldn't believe it. I got away with it. I went to the college and paid for my tuition, all in cash, and got ready to finally start my career. And then Margaret came over with my ring in her hand.
"I know you took it. Jonathan doesn't believe me, but I know it was you."
I denied everything. She swore up and down that she knew the ring was mine, but she didn't have any proof. I told her to leave. The conversation made me nervous, though. I had to think logically. I was pretty sure that Jonathan had his suspicions about me, too. I mean, how could he not? But the fact that he defended me to his wife told me that he didn't want me to get in trouble. So, the next day, I dressed to impress and watered my plants just outside his window. I really posed for him, and of course he noticed. I saw him lurking behind his curtain, just full-on staring at me. I did that throughout the week. And at night, I made sure to keep my curtains open, timing it so that he'd be there to watch the show. I didn't actually talk to him face-to-face until a month later, after his car was recovered and Jimmy was arrested. Jonathan appeared at my door unannounced. He had a rose in his hands. "Come in." The old man walked in, handing me the rose. He told me about my ex-boyfriend's arrest, and how Jimmy had blamed me for the theft.
"But I vouched for you, just like I told my wife that the ring wasn't yours."
"Why?"
"Because I want to take care of you. Because you deserve the best. And I can get you the best."
He looked me right in the eyes and asked what I wanted. I told him about my plans to finish college and start my own fashion company. I told him all my dreams for the future, and he listened patiently. He was a gross old man, but he had kind eyes. He was a good listener. So I'm his mistress now. He gives me everything I want. He's been slowly transferring all his money into an offshore account. Next month, we're finally going to run away together, leaving his wife with nothing. This wasn't how I expected my life to go, but, oh well. I finally have hope for the future. And all it took was stealing a car from my future sugar daddy. In September of 2024, authorities uncovered an unusual case of auto theft in Minnesota. Vanessa Guerra, 30, allegedly stole a 2004 Ford Freestar van in August and later sold it for scrap in Blue Earth County. Investigators found an incriminating entry in her personal journal, where she admitted, quote, "totally stole a car today." Witnesses at the salvage business confirmed Guerra had sold the van.
Despite denying knowledge of the theft, she was charged with felony counts of receiving stolen property and theft.
I was in high school when Snapchat first came out. It was a lot more basic back then. Basically, all you could do was send people these short clips and then they'd disappear. I wasn't really interested in it, but my best friend Danny forced me to use it. Every day, he'd send me dozens of stupid stuff. Sometimes they were skateboarding tricks or funny things his mom said. Sometimes, he'd just look into the camera and tell me a joke. I loved Danny, but I thought Snapchat was really annoying. After graduating, I started college in another town and lost touch with Danny. I think he felt like I'd abandoned him when I moved away. He ended up working at his dad's company, which I know he hated. I tried calling him every once in a while, but he never answered. I wasn't friends with anyone else on Snapchat, so I kind of forgot that I even had it. Then, one night, I saw that I got a new message from Danny. It came in about 2 o'clock in the morning when I was asleep. My phone woke me up. I clicked on the message and saw a 5-second video of Danny looking directly into the camera. Blood was trickling out of his mouth, and he mumbled one word, "Help." Then the video shut off. I was half asleep at the time, and my brain really didn't register what I was seeing. I guess I just thought it was some dumb prank, but I put my phone back on the end table and went back to sleep. It wasn't until the next morning that I realized how strange that video was. I didn't think it was real, of course, but I didn't know why Danny would send me that after all this time of no contact. I decided to skip my morning classes and stayed in my dorm. I called Danny, but again, he didn't answer. Then I called Danny's mom. She seemed very surprised to hear from me. I asked her if Danny was around, and she said no and hung up on me. Had something happened to Danny? I didn't know who else to call, and I couldn't go back to my hometown. I realized that maybe the best way to contact him would be through Snapchat. So I took out my phone and recorded a short video asking if Danny was okay. Then I hit send. Less than a minute later, I got a response. It was a single photo of Danny sitting at his desk and smiling. A caption said, "Just fine." But I knew that he wasn't fine. That photo was from over a year ago. I recognized the photo because I had taken it. Something had happened to him, and someone else was using his phone. I thought about calling the police, but I didn't have any evidence. The video he sent had disappeared, and I didn't know how to bring it back. I called my parents to ask them if they could go over to Danny's house and check on him. They seemed confused, so I tried to explain what was happening. They didn't understand a word I was saying. They never heard of Snapchat, and I guess I was sounding a little frantic. Eventually, they told me to calm down and focus on my studies. Then they ended the call. Without any other options, I decided to leave school and fly back home. If my best friend had been killed, I needed to find out. I ended up paying hundreds of dollars for a last-minute flight, but I was able to arrive back home that afternoon. When I got to the airport, I tried calling my parents again to pick me up, but they didn't answer. I called a couple of my other high school friends, but no one was willing to come get me. I ended up spending a lot of money on a taxi just to get all the way back to my house. When I got home, my house was empty. Both my parents were at work. Thankfully, I still had the keys to my dad's truck, so I used that to drive straight to Danny's house. When I pulled onto his street, I saw that there were dozens of cars parked near Danny's house. It looked like they were having a big barbecue or something. I walked inside without even knocking and saw Danny's parents drinking wine and celebrating with their friends. Everyone was talking and laughing, but when they noticed me, everyone got really quiet. I asked where Danny was, and his mom awkwardly said that he was at work. I didn't believe that for a second. I pulled out my phone and called Danny's number. I heard his phone starting to ring in his mom's pocket. She looked at me for a long moment and then shouted, "Get him!" Instantly, everyone at the party started running towards me. The front door was still open, so I ran out of the house. I wasn't fast enough, though, because Danny's dad tackled me to the ground. As I screamed for help, he pulled me back inside. I kept struggling to get away, but he kicked me on the side of my head and I blacked out. When I woke up, I was tied to a chair. Everyone was gone except for Danny's parents. They stood over me, glaring. "What did you do to Danny?" I asked. I was woozy from my concussion, so I slurred my words. His father walked closer. "What do you know?" he asked. "I know that he's dead," I said. "I know that you killed him and you're trying to cover it up." He slapped me across the face. "And what evidence do you have?" I didn't have anything. The only proof I had was the video they sent me of him dying. And that was gone forever. Nothing, I said. "So just let me go." They exchanged looks, each trying to figure out what to do. Then, Danny's mother walked towards me and started to untie me. She got really close to my ear and whispered, "Danny moved away. That's all. And if you say otherwise, no one will believe you." Once I was free, I ran out of the house and into my dad's truck. I drove straight to the police station and told them that Danny's parents had murdered him. I gave them every detail, and I showed them the bruises I'd gotten from being tackled to the ground. The cop wrote everything down, but I could tell that he didn't believe me. He slammed his notebook shut and told me that he'd look into it. Then he asked me to leave. As I walked out of his office, I realized that he was one of the people at Danny's house party. So, of course, he wasn't going to do anything. When I got back home, my parents were furious that I'd taken my dad's car and skipped school. I tried to explain what happened, but they just didn't believe me. My mom even said that Danny's parents were upstanding citizens who would never do anything illegal. They paid for my return flight and sent me back to college. This all happened several years ago. Everyone still thinks that Danny moved away. The police never investigated him, and no one seems to care that he's gone. Over time, I'd given up on trying to convince people that Danny was killed.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I know that no one will believe me.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.